as we are singing and setting in the presence of the Lord. You remember in the Old Testament when the people of God were worshiping, they would go to the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was set amongst the curtains that had white all the way around it. But in the middle of it, the tabernacle or the Holy of Holies and the holy place were located. It was covered with badger skin on the outside. So it looked rough. It wasn't anything marvelous to look upon. But on the inside, everything was pure gold. You know that as people perhaps drive by this church and they see a small little building with a few cars, they may look at it as not very much. But as I sit in here this morning, I see gold all around. Something much more precious than gold, because God is forging our faith. He is refining us in the fires, because He's preparing us for a place. So I'm thankful to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I would invite you to turn with me, not to where we've been in Galatians, but we're going to turn to the Psalms this morning, and Psalm 13 in particular. We as a church have been going through, we've had many that have been sick, many going through trials, many going through difficulties of just in all kinds of places. And I want you to see that God speaks to those moments in our lives. God has a message for us. He knows what we go through. He's not distant and far away. He's a God that is at hand. And as we think about it this morning, we live in a fallen world. We've got to remind ourselves of that. Oftentimes, when things seem to all be going just fine, we don't even think about that. But when someone gets sick or something happens or a difficulty arises, we very quickly come back to reality that we're living in a fallen world. And it has been broken ever since the first sin against God. Death entered the world and its fruits of pain, sorrow, and grief. Adam and Eve felt the weight of the fall. Can you imagine the heaviness of that moment? The shalom or the peace or harmony of God with His creation was shattered in a moment of high treason against the glorious Creator of the universe. The beauty of man and woman walking before God in perfect love and unity was disrupted. The life and vibrancy of pure relations was corrupted by rebellion, and death and darkness invaded the universe, and the prince and power of the air was happy to see pride overtake the hearts of humanity. Adam and Eve were terrorized by fear and tormented by guilt. They hid themselves from each other and ran from God. They were hiding in pain and no one wanted to take responsibility for their actions. Can you imagine that moment of pain? First couple have isolated themselves from God. The pain and the weight and the guilt and the shame of that moment. You know, things have not changed. Men and women are still in sorrow and pain and in grief and feeling the separation from God and often the isolation from others. But the good news this morning is that God did not leave them there alone. But God came to meet them in the midst of their pain and suffering. He entered their world filled with death and darkness and devilish conflict. He spoke. And oh, isn't it a wonderful thing that God speaks? He brought good news of life and light, and the ability to overcome the power of sin. And this good news, the gospel, is the only answer to the problems that we face in our lives today. Now let's fast forward to a man by the name of David. The sweet psalmist of Israel, as we turn to Psalm 13, we're going to look at a man that wrote from his life experiences, but he wrote it through the eyes of faith. And hopefully as we find ourselves in pain and suffering and grief, that we might drink from the fountains of God's comfort as we look at this psalm this morning. This past week, I was talking to a young man that had almost lost his daughter in a tornado in a few years ago. He was suffering in great pain. He had lost his wife. She had had an affair on him and committed adultery. And he had taken that pain and went out and committed more sins because he was looking for some place of comfort. And as I was talking to him, I noticed that as he showed me his Bible that I had given to him a few weeks ago, that many of the Psalms had been highlighted and they had been written through. And he said, "Let me show you what I've been finding and what I found in God's Word," because often when we're in suffering and pain, one of the greatest places to turn in our Bibles is to the Psalm, because our pain causes us to feel a gamut of emotions. But let us not be carried away by our emotions, but let us remember that God has called His people to walk by faith. The Bible is very transparent. This is what I love about the Word of God. If it had been my life story, there have been things I would have left out. But God gives us the full reality of what men and women have gone through and how they have struggled in sin and how they have overcome sin and how sometimes they have gone through suffering innocently and they grappled and struggled and wrestled with their faith. You know, life is not as clean cut as we often think it is. It's often quite messy. I would love for it to be clean cut sometimes, but it's often messy. There's issues that we don't know how to work through, but sometimes God does not call us to understand. He just calls us to trust. He didn't say you have to know everything, all the ins and outs about what's going on in your life right now, but He calls us to trust Him by faith, to know that He is God and He is watching over you and me. So we're going to turn to the Word of God to find this comfort. Perhaps you're going through a difficult time today. Do you know that pain is a universal problem? No matter where we go on the planet today, this is why I love the gospel. This gospel is not a message for Americans sitting in the church house this morning. This gospel is an international gospel. And if you will open up your heart today, God will speak to that place, that wound, that hurting spot that's in you. And I would venture to say that if we open up our hearts, as Paul encouraged his people that he was writing to, he said, enlarge your hearts or open up your hearts. And if we were to open up our hearts and become vulnerable just for 30 or 40 minutes this morning and allow God to speak to you, do you know He's got a word for you? It's not some ingenious, creative sermon that I have come up with this morning. It's just a fact that He's already spoken and He's called me to tell you what He's already said. And that's my job as a runner from the throne on high. The King has commissioned me to preach His Word to those that are in this world. For those that have been saved by God's grace, He wants me to encourage you and edify you and build you up that you might receive the comfort of God. And as you are comforted in your afflictions, that God has commissioned you not to sit on that comfort, but to go out into the world as wounded healers and share the gospel with others that are hurting in this life. Isn't it wonderful to have a Father of mercies and a God of all comfort that I can run to? So I don't know what you may be going through, but I do know that one man said, I believe it was C.S. Lewis, that said that pain is God's megaphone. Does it not get your attention when you're in pain? Where do we run to? Because we'll be searching for answers when we're in pain. We're going to be looking for relief. And I want us to find that in the Word of God. The title this morning is going to be, How Long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? We're going to see the complaint of the psalmist. We're going to look at his cry because in the midst of his complaint, he goes to that throne of grace where the one who has nail-pierced hands and feet, the one who has been afflicted with all the afflictions that were even greater than Egypt as he drank down the bitter cup of our sin, oh, we're going to the one who knows how to comfort us in our pain. And then we're going to see at the end of this the comfort of God. Let us read in Psalm 13. Anyone interested in what the psalmist has to say this morning? Let's see what he has to say. He says, "How long with that wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" Do you see where I got my title? It wasn't very creative, was it? But it's true. He says in verse 3, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me." Now, we know that David wrote this psalm. He wrote it to be sung. But he's describing a deep personal experience that happened in his life. And isn't it often when we go through pain that we know the pain better than anybody else, and it seems like no one else really understands the depth of what I'm going through. And we often say things like, "Well, I understand where you are, and I understand what you're going through." In reality, you really don't know what that person is really going through. You may have had a similar experience with them, but you don't know exactly what they're going through right at that moment, because the factors that are going on in their lives, your factors were different and your situation was different and the time of when your situation happened. But we understand what you're trying to say, but we really don't know what someone is going through in pain. But there is one who does know. And we are called to identify and encourage with others. But notice as we see this in verse 1 and 2, we're going to see the complaint to God. You know that when we're in the middle of pain and suffering, that we need to have the right place to go to in order to get some relief from the pain. And it's okay to vent and complain to God. He knows. We need to be honoring of Him and how we do it, but it's okay to do that. Because who else are we going to go to? If we go out to the lost world and we tell them, "Oh, look how pitiful and horrible and how bad my life is," they're going to say, "Well, where is your God?" But for the people of God, we can say, "I've got a Father of all mercies that I can go to, that I can call after Him in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my trouble, a day or night, in the midst of the midnight hour when I am troubled in my thoughts. I can go to Him in prayer when I wake up in the morning and I realize I've got to face the same thing today. Oh, Father of mercies, I need Your grace right now." Matthew Henry said this, "It is some ease to a troubled spirit to give vent to its griefs, especially to give vent to them at the throne of grace, where we are sure to find one who is afflicted in the afflictions of his people and is troubled by the feelings of their infirmities. Thither we have boldness of access by faith, and there we have the freedom of speech." Isn't it wonderful to be able to go before the throne of grace and to be able to cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us? D.A. Carson writes in How Long, O Lord, his reflections on suffering and evil. He says, God does not blame us if in our suffering we frankly vent our despair and loss of hope, our sense of futility, our lamentations about life itself. One cannot read chapter 3 of Job with recalling that God will later excoriate the miserable comforters, but insist that Job said right things. Was he not in pain? And he was able to call out to the Lord. So we often just gloss over it and we throw scriptures at people and say, well, God's going to work it all together for good and you just get over it. You know, there's things in life that are not good. When someone goes through cancer, that is not good. When people are hurting and suffering, that is not good. When people go through divorce, that is not good. Can God redeem it? Yes, but it is not good. It is painful and it hurts and it grates at the soul of man. But God knows and God understands. So the psalmist says 4 times, How long, O Lord? Because we are going to face suffering in this life. And he's getting to a point of despair. And he's getting to a point of, at the point of death. And Lord, how long, how much longer can I endure this situation? Because I am hurting. I am in pain. Perhaps I'm going to bed at night with this problem. And I'm waking up in the morning with this problem. And I'm walking throughout the day with this problem. And Lord, I keep coming to you. And it keeps hurting. And it's difficult and it's painful and I'm filled with sorrow. God, where are you? You know, it's okay to have those feelings. But once again, God has not called us to walk by our feelings. He's called us to have a change in perspective by faith. So let's notice what David, and this is a man that was a man after God's own heart. So if there's anyone I want to listen to, I want to listen to somebody that God identified as a man who wrestled with life, but he did it in a right way. Isn't that wonderful that God would bless us with a gift like this psalm that said, hey, David was a man after God's own heart. There was a circumstance in his life that he felt forgotten, he felt hopeless, he felt despairing. But he, as he wrestled with that, that moment in his life was not the end. He writes in Psalm 102 and 1, it says, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto Thee. So the psalmist says, he feels forgotten. He says, how long to be forgotten means that, Lord, are You not paying attention to me right now? Am I out of Your memory? Should I give up hope? God, You see this. You know what's going on. And he feels like there is no immediate relief in sight. You been there before? God, where are You? Matthew Henry once again says, long afflictions try our patience and often tire it. It is a common temptation when trouble lasts long to think it will always last. Despondency then turns into despair, and those that have long been without joy begin at last to be without hope. Let us allow the gospel to breathe into those moments. And let us poke pinholes in the darkness of those moments that the light of the glory of God might shine through and the clouds might dissipate and the rains might be cleared and the full sun of the glory of God and His light might shine unto us in those deep and dark moments of our pain and our sorrow. But the psalmist feels forgotten. And he asks the question, forever? Is this something I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life? Or And you know what the good thing about it today, no matter what's pain or suffering that we might go through, for the believer, it's temporary. For the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I don't know how long your trial or your temptation or your trouble, your difficulty might last, but I want to tell you that though weeping may last for a night, and your entire life might be that night, but I'll tell you that joy is going to come in the morning to the children of God. And oh, how God will draw near to those suffering. Did He not draw near to us in the cross? The psalmist feels forgotten. Next he says, in this same verse, he said, "How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" He not only feels forgotten, but he feels abandoned. Have you ever felt alone? Like, God, where are you at in the middle of this? This, I feel like no one else understands. No one knows what I'm going through, because when I talk with my friends, I talk to them face to face and I enjoy that fellowship. But the psalmist is feeling a sense of God has turned His face away. He's no longer talking face to face with me, and he's wondering, Lord, where is this blessed fellowship? And he, in a sense, is feeling, remember, he's feeling the displeasure of God. But I'll tell you, we go through things in life and we think, well, God, are you punishing us? It's not that at all. God is proving and refining our faith, that even though it feels like His face has turned away from us, that we know that behind a frowning providence, as the old writer said, He hides a smiling face. How long, O Lord, will You hide Your face from me? He feels abandoned. He is wrestling, the psalmist says, having sorrow in my heart daily. He is looking, and this is what we do when we're in pain. We're looking and we're devising a plan of, Lord, how can I get out of this? Let me warn you. Be careful what you turn to as you begin to try to devise a plan to get out of this momentary pain. I have seen many that felt that God had abandoned them, and they turned their face toward a pill or toward a bottle, or toward the wrong direction, another relationship, and it made things drastically worse. We can add to our pain by our sin, or we can find comfort from God in the midst of it and trust Him to soothe us and help us. So the psalmist is looking for this way of escape. He's looking for relief from the pain. He's trying to counsel him, his own self. And you know what? We can say some very bad things to ourselves, so we must run to the Word of God in the midst of that and find a psalm like this that shows us, hey, that I'm not crazy as I'm going through this difficulty, that God has seen in my heart before, that other people have gone through these difficulties and they try to figure it out in themselves instead of turning to the Lord. The psalmist says he feels sorrow in his heart day after day. It seems like wave after wave after wave is crashing over him. And he's concerned here that, Lord, what am I going to do in this ongoing struggle? How am I going to handle this bitter moment? And many do not want to take in the middle of that bitter moment. They don't want to drink down the medicine of the gospel, because just like a little child, and I have to do this oftentimes, when someone is in pain, you have to administer some medicine, and that's the last thing they want to drink down. But it's the thing that will bring healing to them. And sometimes when the midst of our pain, we don't want to be reminded of the gospel, because in our pride we're trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of this by myself? Instead of, Lord, You're right here. You suffered on the cross. You died as my substitute in my place, and You know and understand. Let me turn to You. The psalmist also feels overtaken by the enemy. In the midst of our pain, we often look around and see that those that are anti-God and those that are rebellious toward God, they are partying and partying and partying, and they seem like there is nothing going wrong in their lives, and we wonder, how can they celebrate so well in this life, and how is it that everything seems to be going fine with them, and they're just exuberant and joyful? But let me remind you once again that many of those Saturday night parties under the disco ball, where there seems to be joy and celebration, and much of it is sin, those joys will be turned to mourning. And many of those who are faithful to God and they come into the house of God mourning on Sunday mornings, because of the circumstances and situations, their mourning shall be turned into joy. Isn't it a wonderful thing how God can turn everything upside down just that quick? And if the trumpets were to blast right now, I'll tell you, He would set this world upside down at this very moment. And we that are in the house of God, that are struggling with pain and sorrow, how the immediate relief we would have. But there will be many that will be traveling down that soft road to a devil's hell. So the psalmist is complaining. He's struggling. Look at verse 3 and 4. We go from the complaint to one of the greatest privileges we have as God's people, and that is of prayer. He says, "Consider me and hear me." As he speaks of considering, he says, "Lord, please pay attention to me. Please look at me. Behold or think about what I'm going through right now." And he says, "Answer me." He's asking, "Lord, will you please respond to me in this time of need?" He says, "O Lord, my God." That word L-O-R-D is the word Yahweh, which means the covenant-keeping God, the God who has bound Himself to His people by promise, which means that He is a faithful God, that there is nothing that you may be going through today or will ever go through that God will separate Himself from you, because if He saved you by His grace, you are His, and you are His from now into eternity. And the psalmist David says that, "Lord, you are my God," this covenant-keeping God, this creator of the ends of the earth. The word God there is Elohim, which means this majestic creator. And this is who He's called, calling out to, that, "Lord, you're the creator of the ends of the earth, but not only that, you are the God who keeps covenants. And I've entered into that new covenant through the new birth. God has redeemed me and made His own." He said, "Lord, I know that we have a personal relationship, and I know you see what's going on. Will you please consider me and answer me and light up my eyes?" You ever gone a few hours without food? Oftentimes, after I get through preaching on Sunday morning, man, am I hungry. I don't know why, but I am. I'm ready for a good meal. I feel like my energy's drained by the time I get done preaching. But when I get that good meal, seems like there's a new light in my eyes. Felt like my body, whatever I ate for breakfast, is drained. But when I eat again, it lightens up my eyes. And what the psalmist is saying, "Lord, hear my prayer. Lighten up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." He was at a point in his life that he was despairing and at the verge of death to some degree. He said, "Lord, don't let me sleep. Don't let me go down in the grave. But refresh me. Strengthen my faith. Help me in this midst of this difficult time." Because this stubborn darkness and these clouds that have rolled in are overtaking me, and depression is setting in light of the circumstances. What David needs is divine wisdom and a change of perspective. Isn't it good when we get good news or we get a good meal? Things brighten up real quick. So he's saying, "Lighten my eyes." He says, "Consider and answer me." And he says, "Light up my eyes." These are the psalmist's two pleas, and these are the purposes: that I might not sleep the sleep of death, and that my enemy may not say that I have prevailed over him. He doesn't want to give the enemy an opportunity to say, where is your God? If we sin in the midst of trial, the glory of God is diminished in the midst of our suffering. But if we remain steadfast, the power of God is set on display as God sustains us and is sufficient in the midst of our suffering. Do you know that we often go through trials? And as we remain in those, as we trust God and we wrestle with God and we hang on to God, everybody else around us see that they're putting their faith on display and there's something about their lives. Have you not seen many people time and time after again, they go through a difficulty and you see them, how in the world are they making it through that? Well, I don't know how anybody makes it through anything without God, but when God's people walk through the fiery furnace and they stay there and God walks with them, I'll tell you, it's going to perk up the ears of everybody else around us, because then they're going to see that there's something real about your faith. Psalmist did not want his foes to rejoice that he had been moved or shaken. You know, sometimes we do shake a little bit in the midst of circumstances. But the psalmist was concerned about the witness that he would have before his enemies. He wanted them to see that his heart was fixed. The ground he was standing on was firm. That even though he felt like, God, where are you? He knew that by faith, God, you haven't gone anywhere. You are right here with me. Closer than you ever imagined. When we're in the midst of trials and disappointments or griefs, this is the time when the reality of our faith is made most visible. The enemies of the Lord want us to think that God is nowhere to be found and will not come to our aid. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. We've seen the complaints of the psalmist, the complaints to God. We've seen the cries to God. Now let's look at the comfort from God. We don't know the difficult situation that David was in, but we know he felt pain or grief. He didn't know if there was any end in sight. He had felt as if God had forgotten him. He had felt like God was not paying attention to his problems. He had felt that God had hidden his face from him. There was a sense of abandonment. He felt lonely, as if God was out of sight. He felt the struggle in his soul as he was looking for relief from the pain. We often do the same thing. Let us be careful not to follow our hearts in that time as well. You know, we often give that advice, let's follow your heart. Jeremiah said in 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Be careful, because in our emotions, as we start listening to them instead of listening to the Word of God and walking by faith, it can lead us, our hearts can lead us in a lot of the wrong places. The common saying, let go and let God. That too has an element of truth that we need to surrender to God. But let me also remind you that God doesn't tell us to have this passive relationship with Him that, Lord, I'm just going to give it all to You and not do anything. No, God has called us to surrender it unto Him, but to take firm actions on our part of it. We need to be able to renew our thoughts. We need to be able to capture thoughts that come across our mind that are contrary to God's ways. We need to bring down every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. We don't just let our minds run everywhere. We need to think thoughts of God. We need to renew our minds. So we need to be active in that. Although David's soul was in turmoil for a moment, he reminds us of the transforming power of God's grace when he writes, I felt this way. Do you notice the first word in verse 5? I felt this way, but the story was not over. Faith rises in the midst of the storms in the lives of God's people. We may be troubled by circumstances with us personally, in our family, on our jobs, in our church, in our community, or in our world. Are there not some troublesome things going on in our world right now? Read the news. The Middle East is heating up quickly. Stock markets. There's a lot of tension in our world today, but praise God, I'm serving a God who is watching over it all. God is still in control. His eye is still on the sparrow. And I know He's watching me. He is not turned away in our sufferings. When I see my children suffering, I don't get up from the couch or stay out somewhere else. When I see my children suffering, I run to them. And sometimes the pain fogs their memory and they don't realize I'm there. But I'm telling you, I am right there. And I want you to know that God is right there whether you realize it or not. Our faith can turn from complaints to cries to celebration because of God's love and care. Notice what the psalmist says. He says, I have trusted in Thy mercy. That trust is a confidence or a reliance or a security. I'll tell you, we need to go to God for our sense of security. We need to go to God for our sense of comfort. Faith is believing God's word and acting upon it no matter how I feel, knowing that God promises a good result. Did you hear me on that? I want to say it again to make sure you get it. Faith is believing the Word of God and acting upon it no matter how I feel, knowing that God promises a good result. Do you ever not feel like getting out of bed and going to work in the morning? I feel like that often when I think about the day that I have set before me, but I know by faith God has called me to be a provider and to be a leader and do those things for my family and to do my job with responsibility and integrity, and I get up and I go anyway, disregarding how I feel. We need to do the same thing about our lives. What did He say He trusted in? He said, Thy mercy. God's mercy means His goodness, His unfailing kindness, His steadfast, loyal, unchanging love, His faithfulness or His grace. Do you know that this word also means devotion? When I got a glimpse of that one, that one turned up the fire in my heart a little bit hotter. To realize that because of God's faithful, covenant-keeping love, He is devoted to me. He has bound Himself by promise through the cross to me. He says, He who began a good work in you, He will bring it to pass. He is devoted to His children. The question that I have to ask myself is, how devoted am I to Him in the good times and the bad? Think about Jesus in the midst of this. Jesus was in the most pain while hanging on the cross. It did not feel good. If you think it did, let's go get a hammer and a nail and let me drive it through your wrist and see if you say, "Ooh, that feels wonderful." That won't be acupuncture. That will be pain, real pain. But on the cross, the enemy of God thought he had won. But let's just think just for a minute about Jesus. The Son of God was silent as He suffered innocently. There are times that we don't even need to say a word. And there are times when we minister to other people that are hurting that all we need to do is show up. And the ministry of presence will be enough. There are things that are happening in our lives sometimes that are so bad that we don't even have words that will be of comfort. We just need to be there. The Son of God was silent as He suffered innocently. The Son of God displayed sacrificial love by dying as a substitute for sinners. In the midst of His suffering, He was serving His people by paying the price of their sins. The Son of God made provision for His mother as He was dying on the cross. He was looking after and preferring someone else above Him, even in His suffering. Oh, what a godly example it is when even when we're in pain, we're thinking about how we can love other people. I'll tell you, that'll set the world on fire with God's love. The Son of God cried out in pain to His Father. He said, "My God, my God, why have You forsaken me?" As a loving Father, I'm right there with my children when they're hurting, and I believe that the Father was near unto Him. Even though He felt the weight of the sins of the world laid upon Him, the Father was there. And we too can go to the Father in our pain and vent and give that unto Him. The Son of God extended forgiveness to those who didn't understand what they were doing. In the midst of His pain, He was still forgiving other people. In the midst of His pain, He was willing to rescue a man that was about to die and go to a devil's hell. He said, "Today you will be with Me in paradise." Oh, the deep, deep love of our Lord. His sufferings were deep, but His love conquers all. The Son of God was a public witness of the glory of God in suffering, and He remained steadfast to the end. By God's grace, I can reveal my confidence in the Lord while remaining steadfast under trial. What else did He say? He said, "My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation." He knew that God would deliver at just the right time. He says, "How long, O Lord?" God, I believe it was Martha and Mary that said that about Lazarus that was there in the tomb. "Lord, You waited too long. You were way too late." I tell you, our God shows up right on time and He will deliver. He will give you the grace and the comfort to get through that because He will remind us that He has already gotten the victory. As you think about the cross, that the enemies of God thought they had won the battle. Jesus had died. He had given up the ghost on the cross. And He was hanging there until Joseph of Arimathea had taken Him down and took Him to the rich man's tomb. And they prepared His body. No doubt there was a celebration in Jerusalem that that man who claimed to be God, he is dead. But oh, I tell you, it all got turned around on that third morning when that Son of God rose again from the dead. I'll tell you, we have victory in the deepest and darkest moments of our lives because of the resurrection. You know what else He says? He would sing unto the Lord. "I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me." Who can I sing to in the midst of pain? King Jesus. He loves to hear the praises of His people. What can I sing about in the midst of pain? His love. When can I sing in the midst of pain? Instead of thinking about the sorrow in my heart day after day, I can sing unto Him day after day of His rich grace and mercy. Where can I sing unto Him in the midst of pain? I can do it privately, just like David wrote this psalm privately, but it was made for congregational singing. We can praise God privately, and we can praise God in the midst of pain publicly. Why can I sing in the midst of pain? Because He is right here. How can I sing in the midst of pain? Because He is good and gracious no matter what I'm going through. It's God's people who will really triumph. Do you know the Bible promises that He'll wipe away every tear? Have you wiped away a few tears in your life? Little children that have fallen, and you comforted them and said, "It's going to be okay." Can you imagine? The Bible says in Revelation that God Himself will wipe away every tear. Can you imagine the day that the Father wipes away the tears from your eyes. It reminded me of the song my dad used to sing. He said, we need our Spirit-filled preachers to teach us right from wrong. We need our old-fashioned seekers who will pray all night long. We need some good gospel singing to help us go another mile. His church will triumph, Lord, and go home in a little while. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call. It'll be worth it after all. After all of this climbing, it'll be worth it after all. When you're down in that old valley, prayer is all I can offer you. When our Lord sends deliverance, He'll strengthen you. When you get up on that mountain and look behind you and you see me struggling, trying to make it alone, just lift up my name to Jesus. Let's help each other make it home. By God's grace, I can praise God in the storm because of His abundant grace. He has just been that good to me over and over and over again. I can trust Him for whatever I'm going through today. God is enough. This pain is temporary for the children of God. It's going to get worse for those that are without God. Amen. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Incredible pain in hell. But for the people of God, there's going to be inexpressible joy. God knows those that are His, and He is concerned about our witness. Remember, just because you're going through a difficult time does not give you a license to go out and sin. But it gives you the liberty to go before the throne of God's grace and say, Lord, I need Your help. How long, O Lord? I don't know. But He will be sufficient. And He will be there right on time. Let us trust Him as we get a song and sing this morning.